Hawaii is the only state in the nation with a single statewide school district, and while most districts around the country have only a few schools to manage, Hawaii's Department of Education oversees dozens, spread over 7 islands. With so many communities involved, planning for growth can be a challenge. The DOE recently proposed a new middle school in the West Oahu community of Kapolei, and our producer Ryan Finity called Dan Carlson, the department's assistant superintendent for facilities and support services, to find out how exactly the DOE decides when and where to build a new school.
We are a state district, and within that state district, we actually have 15 separate complex areas, so again, divided out among the 7 islands. So to answer your question, yes, we have 15 different complex areas.
And what exactly is a complex area, for those who aren't familiar?
It's just a way of dividing it down to a smaller, more manageable level. So, for example, we'll pick Leeward area. We have a Waianae and a Nanakuli complex. They're combined, and usually we take the high schools and then all the feeder schools that go into that. And in most cases, the complex area usually involves either 2 or 3 high schools and all the feeder schools that go into that. And it gives us a way of managing across the entire state. It breaks down that level so that we have kind of an intermediary level to be able to execute through.
And when it comes time to either expand a complex area's footprint or to build an entirely new school complex, what factors does the DOE look at in making those decisions?
Well, we're tied in with each of the counties, and as when developers come in to establish new development in particular, as they are pulling permits and they're doing their due diligence in their development work, is when we get engaged and we realize that hey, there's going to be a future need in an area, and that's where we basically go into negotiations in particular with the developer. And probably the most recent and good example would be Ho'opili, which is a D.R. Horton development, obviously out in the Kapolei. When they were going through the development process, we reached an agreement with the developer for, in this situation, 1 new high school site, 1 new middle school site, and at least 2 new elementary school sites, where they've set aside the land. We're still working through that land transfer. But again, where they're giving us the use of that land to build, and we are in the process right now of designing the next East Kapolei High School, which will be located out in the Ho'opili area, because that land was obviously, again, negotiated to us. But as you can imagine, trying to procure land for new schools is a continuous challenge.
Is land access and land availability the largest challenge in expanding the department's facilities?
I would say it's just one of the many. Getting the funding to build new facilities is always a challenge for us. We're thankful for the money that we do get, but it's interesting. Our student population has hovered near 180,000 students really for the last 20 years. So the overall Hawaii DOE has not necessarily expanded, but the population centers that are driving student generation rates have definitely shifted. So you take an area like Kaimuki in the Honolulu area, and our student population in those areas has obviously decreased over the years, but you take the Ewa Plain area, and that's obviously where we're seeing a lot of our growth. Same thing in Maui, where we've got some growth obviously on our neighbor islands as well, and we monitor those. Again, Central Maui kind of being one of the big growth areas as well on some of our neighbor islands. But yes, I would say land acquisition is one, but then it's also, again, our challenge is sometimes getting the funding to actually go through with the different developments.
How does the department go about evaluating where population growth is occurring? Do you use census data, or is it some sort of internal process?
We do. We have both. We have an internal kind of an expert who actually has done a phenomenal job of actually anticipating growth and then coming up with expected enrollment populations, which again are usually very accurate. At the same time, you can tell we've been caught by surprise a little bit, because if you look at Campbell High School, obviously a population over 3,000 now. that was one that we didn't necessarily forecast properly, or no one really did. And again, I think it has more to do with, we thought we were normally, again, a school district will have an increase in their, you know, student population, and then eventually just kind of decrease. And that's what we're seeing across the majority of the rest of the state. As developers, again, developments come in, young families want to move in there. Again, student population goes up, but then as they get older and obviously they leave the house, and the population, student population declines. It's interesting, out in the Eva Plain area, what we have experienced is really a lot of multi-generational living. And again, no one really predicted it would be to the scale it is, but in those areas, again, that's kind of what's driving some of that population, where we thought it might be on a decline. Instead, it's actually continued to increase.
What are the challenges associated with a declining student population in a given complex area versus an increasing population?
Yeah, it's an equal problem. The principals usually like it because that means they have more room to do again some creative things with some of the space that they might have. And we see a lot of, again, innovative type things. Kamiki High School is a great example where they've had a declining population. They maybe have a little excess space right now, but they've been able to utilize that for a lot of different programs. One is a partnership that they have with KCC, where they're bringing in professors from the community college to actually teach dual enrollment courses, if you will, where they're getting both credit for a high school credit, but also, again, many of the students are actually graduating with an associate's degree now out of high school. But I will say, too, and in some of our areas where we maybe have some excess capacity, we do try and house as many of our school administrators as possible in some of those facilities. There's always a demand for that. Instead of, for example, trying to lease space or have areas where, again, we have administrators that are either at the complex area or even the state level, we will put them in excess classrooms and, again, modify the classrooms for use by the state. And, it just reduces our overall cost.
Are there any other particular areas around the state the department is watching closely, either for an expansion or a decline in student populations?
Well, I would say, I think recently in the news, Coa Ridge was an area that, we have an elementary school planned for that site. The other area, I think, again, we talked about a little bit about Central Maui. Central Maui is another area that, again, has an interesting demographic where both Baldwin High School and Maui High School, again, are well above their current capacities. And at the same time, we are working on Kihei High School, a new high school. I shouldn't say Kihei High School. But it's still to be named, but a high school in Kihei that, again, we've been working on for a few years now, and have broken ground and are well into our first phase for that. So that's an area, again, that we also are looking at expanding. We also have a middle school site in Central Maui that we're working on developing as well. Again, all of that is funding dependent. But I would say those are the key areas right now, the key ones that we see coming up. But again, every now and then we're surprised by developments on some of our neighbor islands, again, that will potentially, obviously, drive a student population change. And again, we flex to that, but we do have our eye on that.
And Dan Carlson, what's the time horizon like from evaluating a given area to actually opening a new school? How long does that typically take?
Unfortunately, it's a long process. One, procuring and getting the land transfer. Again, that's an arduous process. It unfortunately takes a few years. Once we've sorted that out, again, going into design, going into bid, going into all those different things, it's about a 4 or 5 year process. So in the situation of East Kapolei Middle School, again, we're looking at opening that school for the 2020-2021 school year. And again, that's something that has obviously, as you well know, been in the process for a little while. We are out to bid right now, and we'll open the bids, and all that means is the different contractors out there are putting together packages to bid, and all of that is scheduled to be opened around December timeframe with an expected population of the first phase of around 400.
All right, Dan Carlson, thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Dan Carlson is the Assistant Superintendent for the Office of Facilities and Support Services in Hawaii's Department of Education. You can find a link to the East Kapolei Middle School proposal on the Conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.